اللهم صل على محمد رسول الله.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Brothers and sisters, I won't take too much of your time, inshallah. I'll just start with Imam Ahmad. We'll delay the prayer a few minutes. And then inshallah next week we'll continue with that. If I have time with these questions, I'll try and address them, inshallah. If not this week, inshallah, I promise you next week when we conclude. The reason why I wanted to go into Imam Ahmad straight away after praising Allah, alhamdulillah, wassalatu wassalamu ala rasulillah, is because Imam Ahmad lived a portion of the life of Imam al-Shafi'i, and he was one of his students. He lived almost a large part of the life of Imam al-Shafi'i, and he loved him immensely. To introduce Imam Ahmad, I'd like to begin with the quotes he made about his teacher, Imam al-Shafi'i, before I tell you who Imam Ahmad is. Imam Ahmad said, "I have never made more dua and praise more than for Imam al-Shafi'i." He said to his son, "Ya bunay, inna al-Shafi'iyya kana kash-shamsi." My son, al-Shafi'i, was like the sun lid-dunya, to the world. And he was kal-afiyya lin-nas, the medicine and health for people. So look, can you find that you can be without the sun and without health? No. He also said about Imam al-Shafi'i, "Inni la'ad'u lil-Shafi'i fi salati mundu 40 sana." I make dua for al-Shafi'i in my salat for 40 years of my life. I say, "Rabbi ighfir li wa li walidayya wa li Muhammad ibn Idris al-Shafi'i." Every prayer for 40 years he used to say, "Oh my Lord, forgive me and my parents and Muhammad son of Idris al-Shafi'i." Al-Shafi'i visited Imam Ahmad once when Imam Ahmad was sick and he was a student, still in his young days. What happened? Imam Ahmad jumped up off his bed or his floor and he sat down on his knees and put Imam al-Shafi'i in his place, and he was ill. When Shafi'i rode on his horse or mule, he used to put his Imam up on the mule, take the reins of the mule, and he used to walk alongside the mule to the point where one of his friends, a student, which was one of his friends named Yahya ibn Mu'ayn, said to him, "Till when is this going to go on, Yahya Ahmad? Now you're walking beside mules?" And Imam Ahmad replied by saying, "Da'anka hadha fa in aradta al-fiqha falzam dhanab al-baghla." Said, "Leave me alone. If you want to learn true knowledge of fiqh, then you should accept to walk alongside a mule, or the owner of the mule." He also said, Imam al-Shafi'i used to dress like a Bedouin. We said that he lived among the Bedouins. He used to dress and resemble the Bedouins and speak like the Bedouins, so you'd think that he's a Bedouin. At one time, Imam Ahmad left the circle of the great Imam Sufyan ibn Uyayna and went into the circle of al-Shafi'i. One of the students of Sufyan ibn Uyayna went up. Now, he didn't know that this was Imam al-Shafi'i. He looked like a Bedouin. He said to him, "You leave the great Imam Sufyan to come and sit with just a common Bedouin person from the deserts?" And Imam Ahmad said to him, "If you missed something Ibn Uyayna said, you could always ask him later. But if you miss something of Shafi'i's words, you are afraid to lose them forever. You don't just get people like Imam Shafi'i with words. You can never get words like this before. And lastly, Imam Shafi'i, he caught hold of the hand of one of the Imams by the name of Yunus of Sadafi. And he said to him, just to show you this, I thought I'd show you this respect and this respect and in debate of disagreements. And he said to him, when they disagreed on something, should we not remain as friends and brothers, regardless of some differences in our opinions? Today we differ and we become my enemy. So Imam Ahmad praised Imam Shafi'i, and he took this same quality from Imam Shafi'i. So why did his students become the opposite? And their students, Allahu A'lam, why did we become the opposite of that? Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, just a little bit about his introduction. When you think Ahmad, when you say Ahmad, it means Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, that's it. It's like these days when you say the king of rock, you think Elvis. There are many Elvises. When you think of Jacko, there are many Jackos, but it's Michael Jackson. But it's a bad metaphor and example. But when you think, for example, Aristotle, there are many Aristotles, but the Aristotle. Isaac. When you talk in physics, you think Isaac Newton. When you say Boyd, Boyd's Law, there are many Boyds around the world, but you know because the title of that law. And then you think, when you say Ahmad in Hadith, everyone knows it's Imam. I don't even have to mention his surname or anything like that. So when you think Imam Ahmad, you think Hadith. That's what his specialty was. And he was also a faqih, knowledgeable in understanding Sharia. And he also existed in the third generation that the Prophet ﷺ praised. He was born in the year 164 Hijri and lived for about 77 years, born in Baghdad, died in Baghdad. And he was born in the year when Imam Malik died. If you want me to give a title to Imam Ahmad, I don't know, subhanallah, the Muhaddith. He was a copycat of the Prophet ﷺ. And this is what Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal is known for. The perception of Imam Ahmad is that of rigidity, unfortunately. When people say Ahmad ibn Hanbal or Hanbali, it is so sad that people attach him and his school of thought to rigidity, strictness, ultra-religious, extremism, fanaticism. It's not good to associate a bad quality to someone who does not deserve this. And Imam Ahmad was also one of those, like the other Imams, who was accused. The word name, which doesn't help either, the word Hanbali in the dictionary means someone who is very rigid as well, one-minded. And he was Ahmad ibn Hanbal. But that's not what it meant. A name doesn't tell you what you are. And unfortunately today, a name called Wahhabi is attributed to the same line that goes back to the Hanbalis, Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. And we'll note next week why this all happened. But Imam Ahmad started his knowledge at the age of 15 years. He was a scholar and expert in Quran, Hadith, and he also went into Qiyas later on. He studied in Yemen, Morocco, Khurasan. He actually went the most out of all the scholars, out of all the imams. He traveled the most around the world. Allahu Akbar, he used to travel distances more than 2 months, 4 months with his friends to learn knowledge. And on top of that, he had extreme financial difficulties to the point where he never asked for any money from anybody. And people offered him, scholars, the government, the khalifas, friends. Imam Ahmad never accepted anything from anybody until he died. So his wealth and his knowledge and his everything was from his own bare hands working, to the point where he was so in much of financial needs and so much that he never asked for anybody for money, never took anything, that at one time he wanted to travel to study under a scholar, 2 months journey, that he ran out of wealth and money. He took up working as a luggage carrier. Luggage carrier, carrying the luggage of people who are traveling, women and children and men. A great imam like that carrying luggage, this is not how a person is measured by their job. No. Imam Ahmad was one of those, just like Imam Shafi and Imam Malik, his inspiration and his channel into knowledge was his mother. Remember Imam Malik's mother was his inspiration? And a little bit his father? Imam Shafi'i, his mother. And Imam Ahmad, also his mother. Imam Shafi'i was an orphan, raised by his mother. Imam Ahmad was also an orphan, raised by his mother. And Imam Ahmad came from a tribe called Banu Shayban. They lived near Kuwait in the southern of Iraq, East Arabia. Banu Shayban, a long time ago before the Prophet ﷺ, had a combat with the Persians. There's a long story about it. And this tribe, Banu Shayban, actually beat the army of the Persians. And this was for the first time in the history of the Arabs before the Prophet ﷺ, where the Arabs beat the Persians, the superpower. It was a battle called Dhiqar. And if there is a hadith from the Prophet ﷺ who said, Nusiru wa bi Nusiru, Banu Shayban were given victory because of me. Because the day when they were given victory is the day when the Prophet ﷺ was born. And Imam Ahmad came from that line. Banu Shayban were a very strong-willed people, which explains to you the trial which I'm going to talk to you about next week of Imam Ahmad. And which also explains to you the strong will of his mother, who was also a scholar. His name was Ahmad ibn Muhammad. Ibn, his seventh grandfather was Hanbal, al-Shaybani. His mother was also from Banu Shayban, which explains why she was strong-willed. And our Muslim ummah today has become plagued with ignorant mothers, unfortunately. Or mothers who are overworked in their career. There's nothing wrong with working, but I'm talking about mothers who are materialistic and working for materialism to the point where their children are either neglected, or if they're ignorant, their children become ignorant. I always say, when I do a marriage, I say, conduct a marriage. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave mothers a quality which He didn't give to the men. And men abuse that quality when they say women talk too much. It is annoying to the men. I say to the sisters, if you can, please lessen the amount of talks to your husband. But they can't help it, so they talk. One of the reasons why they talk a lot in their nature, majority of women, not all women, but majority of them, you find that quality developing in their motherhood. They need that quality with their children. Children also talk a lot. But we're not trying to say women and children are the same. They are alike in some way. What I mean by that, meaning they can understand each other better than what children can understand their fathers. If you're married, you'll understand this. Why? Because children need to be spoon-fed. They need a lot of detail, a lot of words. We men, we like to use few words, which make bigger meanings. And we expect you to understand the rest. If you don't, we get frustrated. And similarly with our children. Not all men, but a large men in general. So mothers need this quality and need this patience. If they don't have all these words, children will have a problem understanding. They need to be spoon-fed. And the mother of Imam Ahmad was extremely wise, and she spent so much on her son in knowledge and wisdom. She stayed single all her life after the death of her husband, raising and teaching her son Imam Ahmad. Dedicated her life. And Imam Ahmad loved his mother so immensely. He had a special spot in his heart, a little bit more than the normal sons, because of what he saw her do for him. In fact, he was 21 years old. 21. So he was an adult. And one day he was walking with one of his friends, And he said to him, let's cross the Tigris River for some reason. And he said to him, no, my mother told me never to cross the Tigris River. Today, a 21-year-old who says, my mum doesn't let me, imagine what happens to them. And I've said before, this word mummy's boy is an ugly word, it shouldn't be. So he's 21 years old, and he says, my mother said, don't cross, I'm not going to cross. And there were many imams who wanted to travel to jihad, for example, voluntary jihad, and their mother said, don't, and they obeyed her. And you'll find why his fuqh is in one time Imam Ahmad was praying, and his mother called him. He was praying a voluntary prayer, and he responded to her. And in his fiqh, in his school of thought, in his view, with his evidence of course, he sees that if you're praying a voluntary prayer and your mother calls you for a need, then you should respond. You should stop the voluntary prayer, nafil prayer, nafil. So you're not praying sunnah or fard, just praying a prayer. You should stop it and respond to your mother. And I'd like to end it by this. What type of women do we have today? And what kind of men? And since we are talking about his mother, we see today, unfortunately, two extremes. Mothers who are completely, who are either depressed and let themselves go, and mothers who are too overzealous on their beauty and their looks, etc. When you marry a woman, check out her software, not just the hardware. And when a woman marries a man, check his programming in here, because that's his mentality, which you have to face later on. The programming must be fatherhood, and especially the motherhood. There's a great poet who says, "Al-ummu madrasatun idha a'adattaha a'adatta sha'ban tayyib al-a'raqi." When you prepare the mother, you have prepared a generation full of wisdom and charisma and leadership. We want mums who love and to learn their deen and benefit with their deen, etc. Today's motto and drive is no money, no honey. Isn't that right? No money, no honey. My father used to hear it from elderlies in the Preston Mosque. No money, no honey. So you've got to have money to get married, otherwise she won't take you. This should not be the drive. Today's divorces are based on the motto, I couldn't reach my dreams with him. So he couldn't fulfill my dreams, I left. And what are these dreams? You'll find that 80% of them are worldly or materialistic. I'm not having a go at our sisters. We have, alhamdulillah, sisters here who are God-fearing. But I'm talking about just the general vibe you get from the community, Muslim and non-Muslim. Unfortunately, materialism has become a problem. Imam Ahmad's mother and the likes, they were not like that. So I finish it here, inshallah. And next week, we will continue with Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahmatullahi alayhi, about his trial, his way of thought, his teachers, his memory, his extraordinary intelligence, the books he left behind, his death, and how his madhab reached us, a little bit about Wahhabi thoughts and how it came, and a little bit about the confusion of this madhab in the minds of people. And then we will conclude, inshallah ta'ala. One more correction. I mentioned last week that Imam al-Shafi'i had a student who told him about washing between the toes in wudu. Do you remember that hadith? Yeah. And that Imam al-Shafi'i said, this is a Hassan, hadith on Hassan, and he started advising people. I made a mistake. It's actually Imam Malik it happened with, but nevertheless, whether it's Imam Malik or Imam Shafi, it was exactly the same thing for them all. This is what they all did. They did not. They weren't different at all in this way. So I ended here. I thank you for listening. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to illuminate our hearts. هذا وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين.
اللهم صل على محمد رسول الله. اللهم صل على محمد نبي الله. اللهم صل على محمد رسول الله. الله صل على محمد.